one thing I've done on more than one occasion.
As a matter of fact,
this goes back even back to the Salem Avenue Christian bookstore days. I would have a preacher, generally a Baptist fellow, who would be arguing with me about dispensational understanding, and I would ask him to open his Bible to Acts chapter 3. Actually, I have a Bible on the counter. My store Bible.
Yeah.
And open it to Acts chapter 3. And have him read to me verses 19, 20, and 21 and exposit them for me, so that he could give me the benefit of his knowledge and the benefit of his wisdom as to what these verses are saying. Repent ye therefore. I thought I did that already in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Why am I doing it again? And be converted. I thought I was already in Acts 2 38. I repented and got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. So why am I doing it again? That your sins may be blotted out. I thought they were all blotted out, not a maybe to it. When the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord, I thought I had a present possession of the blotting out. So I just love to have them read those verses and tell me what they mean. Because they have to dance with them, or they have to say that it is a recapitulation. Verse 20, and he shall send Christ, Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. The before preached, what would that be? Would that be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What else could it be? You're in Acts 2. Before preached puts you back in the Gospels, doesn't it? Well, that is where the Baptist folks are. That is where the Presbyterian folks are. That is where the Church of God, Church of Christ is. So, it's a fascinating thing to give people some Bible and ask them to exposit it. Now, why would it be that in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 you see a clear statement that is markedly different in Acts chapter 3, you see the times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. What comes from the presence of the Lord? The times of refreshing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 14, what comes from the presence of the Lord? You.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How is it, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him? You're there. So, being ever with the Lord is an amazing contrast to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Now, I've said to you that many people think that they live their life here on planet Earth, and then they die and go to heaven. And then they come down here and live 1,000 years with Israel. And then they go to heaven. And then they're kind of a up and down and up and down scenario. The thing that is important to recognize as you consider why Acts chapter 3 verses 19, 20, and 21 are not your doctrine would be that you are ever with the Lord. You have a present possession of salvation. Do you see the trouble you get into when you put yourself in Acts chapter 3? How now your situation becomes tenuous? How now you think that since the church began in Acts chapter 2, this would have to be you? And that being the case then, you have to wait, verse 21, until the time of restitution to have all things in place for you. That the time of refreshing, the time of restitution of all things would be when your sins are blotted out. Now, you know that's not you. But let's say you don't know that's not you, and you think the church did begin in Acts chapter 2, and you think that you have to wait for the time of restitution of all things to have your sins blotted out, then you are in the exact position that you were probably placed by your preachers and teachers.
Yes.
To confess your sins to maintain your salvation in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The so-called short account system. That make sure your sins are all confessed before you go to bed. And when people are thinking about it's time to die, are you sure your sins are all confessed up to date?
Yes.
That language.
Yes.
Are you confessed up to date? Now, the difference between that and a Roman Catholic Jack in the Box, pre-Father Jack in the confessional box, is not great.
No, it isn't.
The system, then, that you and I were both put under, I'm supposing, is a product of thinking that Acts chapter 2 is the birthday of the church, that's where it all began, and in Acts chapter 3, well, since we're past my birthday, this must be one of the presents that I get, and it opened at the times of refreshing, it's opened at the times of restitution, and it is consistent with Israel's program, but totally inconsistent with Paul. Note now, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, there's a fellow back here, John the Baptist's daddy. And John the Baptist's Zechariah says in Luke chapter 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hasn't been born yet, by the way, verse 67, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Any chance he made a mistake?
No.
Blessed be the Lord God of the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians. You know, it says Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. That would be the Baptists. How do you do that? And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us. Who's the us? In the house of his servant David. Verse 70. Now, Christ hasn't been born yet. As he spake by the mouth of all the holy prophets which have been since the world began. So, all prophets since the world began. What were they talking about? They were talking about 68 Israel. Redemption for his people Israel. And that, this is Luke 1, what is it, 70? Before Luke 2. Luke 2 is where the Lord shows up. So, all the holy prophets since the world began are speaking to the Messiah, to Israel, to bring in the Messianic Davidic kingdom. Go back to where you were in Acts chapter 3. Now we're on the other side of the cross. The death, burial, resurrection have taken place. And here comes Peter in verse 21, who says, the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which, and then he says exactly what Zechariah had said, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So what was said in Luke chapter 1, verse 70, is said in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. What does this effectively bracket? The gospel.
apostles and the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same going in. It's the same coming out. Nothing is new. No birthday for anybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 would indicate a death day, not a birthday, as Israel is stumbling and falling. When Peter, in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, says this is that which is prophesied by Joel, he says in verse 17, in the last days, not the first days of anything. See it? So, I have a statement in Luke chapter 1, verse 70, and I have a statement in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, which effectively brackets the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his, of course, earthly ministry was as the Messiah to the nation Israel. That's very effective.
Yes.
Now, contrasted from that, we have a gentleman who, in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, says what he is teaching was kept secret this whole time. Romans chapter 16, I know you're familiar, not again that his power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. Oh, he uses the same four words since the world began. So, I have a bracket showing me things are the same after the death, burial, and resurrection as they were before the death, burial, and resurrection when it comes to being prophesied material. And here comes a man who meets the Lord in Acts chapter 9, 6 and 7 chapters after Peter's Pentecostal sermon. And the Lord comes to him and gives him revelation of the mystery which hath been kept secret since the world began. No possible way can what this man Paul is saying be the same as either Zacharias or Peter or the content of that bracketed material by those persons. No possible way. They can't be the same, or words don't mean anything. And words do mean things. So, why would a person say the church had its birthday in such an untenable place? Well, the Holy Ghost shows up. To whom was the Holy Ghost promised? We saw that last time in John chapter 20, the Great Commission nobody looks at. Wasn't promised to you. The Holy Ghost is not your a gift of your comforting. Think about the Word. Was he not said to be to Israel? Did not Christ describe God's Holy Spirit as the comforter? Another comforter will I send you. Do you live in a time of supernatural comforting that comes from God? No, you can't read your Bible and think that you do, because after all, Romans chapter 8, 18, the sufferings of this present world. You're going to suffer. So everybody's looking for comfort that's not coming. Sad to say, there is a war going on. It's a doctrinal war. It has to do with the deity of Christ. It has to do with his substitutionary atonement. And nobody's participating in the war because church has turned into, literally, I say this and it's just with great chagrin and sadness, we drive from here, from Sugar Creek Township, we come up here, we come up a road called Shepherd and cut across, and then we get on Factory. Well, Shepherd, when we moved here, wasn't on the map.
No.
It was a dotted line in the township map, and it was a gravel road. Wasn't even paved. Now there's a Church of Christ sits there. Paved road, four lanes, golf course. We don't live out in the country anymore.
No.
the church there is having special services with drive-in movies.
Ooh.
They've got tents out in the parking lot, and they're going to have drive-in movies. I beg your pardon. Having pastored for more than 20 years, that never occurred to me. I just never crossed my mind to have drive-in movies. So they're having drive-in movies, and what are the chances that it'll be a Billy Graham movie, which won't have the gospel in it, probably, or a Roman Catholic presentation of the Passion of the Christ, which includes the seven stations of the cross and Veronica's veil and a whole bunch of other things that never happened. So, it's become an entertainment venue, and we've got a perfect example we see every time we leave the house and head to Beaver Creek. There's drive-in movies are coming. Oh, boy. Well, there is a battle going on.
Yes.
And it is a doctrinal battle, and it needs to be joined.
Yes, it does.
The only people that know there's a battlefield are the soldiers.
Amen.
Not many soldiers of the cross left. Most people go to church to get from God or to be entertained without having to spend quite as much for a ticket as they do at the Schuster Center. Have a nice day. When Paul says that things were hidden and kept secret since the world began, and Peter says he's preaching that which all the prophets spake since the world began, you give those two verses to your Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ friend, and then you be quiet.
Yes.
You tell me, you who don't like mid-acts Pauline dispensationalism, you tell me why you think that you can be Petrine, you can follow the Gospels, you can go according to Pentecost, when God moved on.
Amen.
Why haven't you?
Amen.
The charismatics and Pentecostals like to talk about God's doing a new thing. Well, they missed the last new thing he did.
Amen.
So hang them out to dry. Maybe that's why we're called directionists. Hang them out to dry. And demonstrate to them that they're not sound in their thinking. And the easiest way I know to do that is to rub these verses together and then say, why? And let them babble like a brook, because that is what they inevitably will have to do.
Yes.
Now, when Peter, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, says, repent ye therefore, most people you're talking to are going to think the word repent means to change your direction, to turn. Repent ye, therefore, you're going to have to deal with them about that, because that's works. Mm-hmm. Turn or burn. Turn from your wicked ways. Billy Graham said it in stadiums all over America. People get the idea that that's what repent means. Repent does not mean that in Greek or in English. It's to have a change of mind, a change of understanding, because you've got new information. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Why would that be? Why is Israel in a maybe situation? Why would that be? Has not the death, burial, and resurrection taken place already? It has. Was he not their Messiah? He was. Did they not repent and get baptized and get the Holy Ghost? They did. So, why are they going to have to wait for their sins to be blotted out at the presence of the Lord? At the time of the restitution of all things? What's up with that? What's the deal with that? Why would Israel be in that condition?
Good question, don't you think? So here I am in Acts chapter 3 as Israel. What do I know about my condition? Well, I've received endowment from on high, the Holy Ghost of God. In Hebrews chapter 8, I find out in verses 8, 9, and 10 that the house of Israel has in its heart, written in its heart, the law. He makes a new covenant, not with the covenant that I made with the fathers, but this covenant I shall make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. Then, as long as I stay led by the Holy Ghost, isn't that how people talk? If I'm led by the Holy Ghost, then I won't violate the laws, will I? So, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 makes the statement in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 13, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. How could anybody endure to the end? Oh! The supernatural endowment of power by God's Holy Spirit. That's how. Now, when Jesus is speaking at the Olivet Discourse here in Matthew chapter 24, he's speaking about the time of Daniel's 70th week, the time of great tribulation. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Matthew chapter 23, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. What happens? The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Isn't that exactly what Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2? When Peter said, this is that. Well, I'm here in Acts 3. And Peter just told me in Acts chapter 2, heads up, son. This is that. By the way, there's your source. The source for Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. And Acts chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 are both back there in Joel chapter 2. There's your source code. Why? Go all the way back to Proverbs. Generally, people only turn to the book of Proverbs one day of the year. Mother's Day.
Yep.
Women's Day. And they'll read from Proverbs 31. There's the 30. The virgin was woman. Well, Proverbs chapter 1. You will never hear this from any Pentecostal.
No.
But we've been tracing some references. We hear Peter say it in Acts chapter 2. We hear the Lord say it in Matthew chapter 24. We hear Joel say it in Joel chapter 2. Look here. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn ye at my reproof. You know what turn ye at my reproof means?
Repent.
Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Oh!
Did you know Pentecost was predicted in Proverbs chapter 1?
You're reading it. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. That's going on, isn't it? Because I have called you and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Because ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Pentecost was not a good day. Some folks got converted, but most didn't.
No.
Israel stumbled and fell. They shall call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then none of them would choose my counsel. They despised my reproof. Wow. That's what happens when he pours out his spirit. That's not the birthday of Christianity, the birthday of the church. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but who hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Me! I hearkened. I'm the Israel that repented and got baptized. I'm here in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. I will dwell, so that's me there. That's repentant Israel. They shall dwell safely. They shall be quiet from fear of evil. I don't want to strain at a gnat here, but shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a good title for Psalm 23.
Yes.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But he has to go through a valley for it.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel is equipped to get there. How would then you not get there if you were equipped to get there? Well, how about Hebrews 6? Now, folks, you're writing down these references. You are writing down the verses that Church of God, Church of Christ, Free Will Baptists use to prove you can lose your salvation.
Yes.
And that you have to keep your sins confessed up to date. They are trying to live Israel's system in the tribulation. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll have more in Hebrews chapter 6 in the second hour. But right now in Hebrews chapter 6, what is the fourth word in verse 4? Impossible. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, they repented and got baptized, who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, and have tasted the good word of God, the powers of kingdom, world to come. That is the theme of the book of Hebrews, by the way, the world to come. You know how I know that? Because the writer of the book of Hebrews said so. Picky. And have tasted the good word and the powers of the world to come. What was the fourth word of the fourth verse? Impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame. Oops. So somebody that has partaken of Pentecost and, may I say, blasphemes the Holy Spirit, rejects God's counsel, putting Christ to an open shame, it's impossible to renew them. the fourth word of the fourth verse, you need to paint on a baseball bat and hit every Methodist you know with it. Because retreads, recommitments, well, I got saved the first time when I was a kid, but then I got saved again when I was a teenager, and then I went wild for a while. Then I got saved again, and then I went in the service, and I went wild again. Then I got saved again, and then, you know, there's people that have been saved more times than Carter's got pills. Does Carter still have pills? Little liver pills? They don't make them anymore? Gone. Carter's little liver pills. Had nothing to do with President Tina. Well, impossible to renew those people if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. The Methodist, the Church of God Anderson, the Church of God Cleveland, the Church of God White Wing Pillar of Truth, the Churches of Christ. These are all people that believe they can lose their salvation. Free will Baptists. They really don't have salvation. They have probation. And if they violate their probation by sinning and don't confess it, the verse says it's impossible to renew them, and yet they're rebaptizing people. There's more retreads in the Church of God than there are first-time converts. Words don't mean things. So here I am, I'm Israel. My outfit's dying out, and the sun's going to go dark, and the moon's going to go dark, and boy, this is bad. But I got the Holy Ghost, which gives me power to endure to the end. I've been endured without. I've got the Comforter to take me through so that I'm able then to get into my kingdom.
Yes.
When am I finally complete in Christ? Which Paul says those other people already are. Well, you're going to have to search to figure that out, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 11. Searching what? Might I suggest you underline it, if not in your Bible, in your thinking. Searching what, or what manner of time? Oh, really? When makes a difference? Apparently it does. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. When's the glory going to be? What manner of time is that going to be? Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's Acts 2, that's Acts 3. And they're saying, what manner of time is this going to come to pass? Answer. Son, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at... Exactly, Acts chapter 3, verses 19, 20, and 21, restated here, the revelation of Christ Jesus. So what do you have to do? You need to do that which the Hebrew epistles instruct. Keep the commandments. Well, nobody's been able to do it up till now, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. You do. Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, the problem with teaching some of this is that you, this morning, have already gone through more verses than the Methodist church you drove by to get here goes through in 2 years.
Amen.
In that, and I'm not, I know I sound nasty, but you can't give them credit for what they're not doing.
That's right.
You see, when you list the verses that the Methodist Church is using, a lot of times It's a third of a verse and a half of a verse. You can't count that as a whole verse. You have to say that's a fraction and add the fractions. Sometimes it takes them a month to get through a whole verse. We've got a Methodist church in Belbrook. The sign yesterday morning in front of the Methodist church that they just remodeled and had a grand opening and brought in the local hoop-de-doodles, the cut ribbons and stuff. The sign yesterday morning was, "It's still Easter." I said to Karen, you know, if they said on the sign, "Christ is still risen," that'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Easter is not what it ever was.
No.
And Easter is bunnies and... So it's hard to get this through to people that don't know any Bible.
Yes.
If we remove the tables, your books and cough drops, they boom, hit the floor.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you hand somebody a doctrine. And they Bible schmible, I watch Oprah. Yeah. And it just falls to the floor. They got no foundation. They got no way to grab hold of it. They don't know where the handles are. That's why taking two verses that say opposite things should challenge their belief system and maybe have a bubble pop, the bubble between their ears, so that their brain can get engaged. Ezekiel chapter 36. We've got in verse 25. "I will sprinkle clean water upon you." There's baptism, that's why the Lutherans sprinkle. "And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness." Pretty close to Acts 2:38, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized for Jesus. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit..." Well, that's Pentecost. "A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and," underline it, "cause you to walk in my statutes." Well, if the Spirit causes you to walk in God's statutes, then when you refuse to do that, you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And Hebrews 6 says it's impossible to renew you. That's where these verses go. "Ye shall keep my judgments and do them," my statutes. It's not just 10. It's not just the Decalogue. It's the statutes and the judgments. It's 613 points of law that exist in your Bible. Most folks saying they're keeping the commandments, doing the best they can, they couldn't recite more than 6 or 7 of them when they guess at them.
Yeah.
"I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and will call for the corn and increase it, and lay no famine upon you." Here comes the kingdom. So Ezekiel chapter 36. Of all places in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 1, Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, you see this confluence of events for the nation Israel.
Yes.
How they are enabled to do that which no one of the Hebrew people could do for all those years since Moses. They're given the supernatural endowment to do it, and if they fail, it's impossible to give them another shot at it. They've crucified the Lord afresh.
Yes.
Then, their system culminates in grace being delivered unto them at the time of refreshment. The fact that Peter uses the word grace does not in any way abrogate the fact that these people got a whole lot of stuff they're doing. They're given power to do it, and they have to take their flesh and fight the Holy Ghost not to, which some of them obviously do. So, why are these people in Acts chapter 3, verses 19, 20, and 21, not us? Why did the church not have its birthday in Acts 2 and act out in Acts chapter 3? Why would we not go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and ever use it on anybody? And you'll find it in gospel tracts. You'll find it in gospel presentations. But Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is not the gospel. We are not about the name. We're about the death, burial, and resurrection of God manifest in the flesh. So Acts chapter 4, verse 12 becomes kind of a bumper sticker, kind of a, there's no other name under heaven but which you must be saved. Well, it's not about the name with us. You see, the revelation of mystery had not yet been given in Acts chapter 4. So, for us to traffic as if it was hands-on present-day doctrine in early Acts is ridiculous. The beautiful thing that you're able to do is say to people, well, why do you say that? They can't defend their position.
No.
Why in Acts chapter 3, verses 19, 20, and 21 is just loaded with them? I thought you told me you were saved. This says you don't have grace yet. I thought you told me you had already repented. This says you got to do it again. I thought you already had been converted. This says, you know, you can just, you don't have enough clothespins to hang people out to dry with what's in these three verses. But for you to be able to do it, you need to know why. You need to know who's who and what's what and why. When you know the why, no one will come along to you and say, well, you Pauline people, see, Peter says you're wrong here. And you won't be knocked off your horse. It won't bother you in the least. Actually, you'll be thankful because the other person is identifying for you the position that they take, so now you know where to go and how to deal with it. It's useful. So, Acts chapter 3. How long have I prattled on so far? 42 minutes. Acts chapter 3. Look at verse 24. We did 19, 20, and 21. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Why didn't Peter say all the prophets from Mephibosheth? All the prophets from David? All the prophets from King Asa? He's one of my favorites. He was a knucklehead. Good life lesson with King Asa. King Asa the knucklehead. Acts chapter 3, verse 24. Why did he say Samuel?
Sure mercies of David.
Well, there's the sure mercies of David. Look at look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. What gets announced in Samuel?
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Wow. Really? And so, verse 12, when thy days be fulfilled, he's going to build me a house, verse 13, and establish the throne of his kingdom until he dies. No, forever. You see it? I will be his father, he shall be my son. The Davidic kingdom you hear talked about, the messianic Davidic kingdom, is announced in Samuel. Peter didn't pick Samuel out of a hat. Any name will do. He picked a name that would do. It's amazing how much there is in our Bibles. It's incumbent upon us as Bible believers to respect every word. So when I see Samuel, I ask myself, why Samuel? And that's useful. That's helpful. So,
I know Paul talks about a mystery which hath been hid, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest. Peter found what he's preaching in Samuel. Paul says, nobody's got this. Can't be the same. Can't be the same. It's more different than Apple and DOS. It's more different than Ford and Chevy. It's nobody drives a Chrysler, but it's way different. So it's in Samuel. We tend to, as we become more and more Pauline, we tend to have the ability that we sometimes don't tap into, to be able to reread the Old Testament books with a newer level of understanding than we ever had before. And you're coming along and you're just jolly reading Samuel and you say, oh, that's why Peter picked him. And you connect to the dots. When you connect the dots, that's called making your own Bible references. And then you do that. You connect the dots with your own Bible references. Don't you? Sure. It's fun. Now, are you still in 2 Samuel?
No.
I think maybe what I want to do is 1 Samuel. Stop there.